1 Thessalonians 5:18. Teresa, do you have that?
Mm-hmm.
Would you read that out loud, please?
In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, we are a grateful people this morning, for we have been brought to our senses, Lord, by your law and your gospel. You have brought us to see reality, to acknowledge it, and to conform to it. Thus we know ourselves to be in debt to you, a debt of gratitude, because you have given yourself for our good and for our sakes, we might be reconciled to you. Lord, we are not people to live in such a way as that you should be grateful for us, but we are grateful for you. And that is as it should be, and that is the will of God for us. Father, be with us this morning for the next few moments and stir our hearts properly. Stir our hearts mightily, dear Father, and stir us by wisdom. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Amen. Also Psalms 9:1. Both of them. Psalms 7:17. Psalm 7:17 says, I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness. I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness. And Psalms 9:1 says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. Now it is in some circles mandatory that as seasons roll around, that sermons should be based upon the seasons that are rolling around. So in most churches you can expect on a particular holiday to hear a sermon about that holiday. And it is good, though not mandatory, to take opportunity when a civic cultural activity is happening and people's attention is drawn to a particular event. Take the opportunity for the public attention that is drawn to that for us to speak to those matters and to see what is being paid attention to in the light of God's will for us. It was Abraham Lincoln who declared that the last Thursday of November would be set off as a day of Thanksgiving, a national holiday. And you'll find in your letter slots out there a copy of the Thanksgiving Proclamation, 1863, by Abraham Lincoln, establishing this as a day. Practice of the early pilgrims offering Thanksgiving to God is a true practice, but as a national holiday, it was established by Abraham Lincoln. And this coming Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, will begin in earnest and with great fervency the holiday season, because people will start traveling on Thanksgiving Day, they'll be with family on Thanksgiving Day, they'll be making plans for Christmas on Thanksgiving Day. The day after Thanksgiving is one of the biggest sale day of the year to get people in the holiday buying mood, and so they have a great sale the day after Thanksgiving. And for the next 5 weeks, you and I will all be participants in or affected by the great current of the holiday season. And it will be one of those situations in which you will find yourself going against the current. Because the current of the holiday season is eat, drink, and be merry, and get, and give me, and buy, and buy some more. Until they shut the doors for the last time on December 24th. And people will be out frantically on that day until the doors are shut, buying one more present to make sure that the recipient doesn't feel slighted, that they didn't get them enough. And it has all those elements to it. And for those who know the meaning of Christmas, or what it is intended to signify, it is not the spirit of what the world puts upon it. It is not the spirit of give me, give me, give me. It is the spirit of giving. It is the spirit of grace. It is the spirit of redemption. It is the spirit of unselfishness, not selfishness. It's not the spirit of materialism, but the spirit of God that the birth of Christ signifies. So we're going to be caught up in that, but you need not get caught up in that, and you dare not get caught up in that, for it will entangle your soul as well as mine. But Thanksgiving Day, when people gather together and have meals together, is an opportunity for us to look at Thanksgiving. And as we looked at 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we are to give thanks in everything, for giving thanks in everything is the will of God for us. To give thanks in everything is the will of God for us. Yesterday's LA Times had an article on the front page that continued for several pages after regarding Afghanistan. And it's been approximately 15 years since Russia invaded Afghanistan in a coup attempt and took over. And the Afghan rebel fighters have been fighting back for 15 years and basically destroying the entire country. I'm going to read just a few paragraphs of this article to give you an idea. 70% of Kabul, which is the capital city, a proud and ancient city that now is home to an estimated 900,000 to 1.2 million people, has been laid waste. According to Afghan government sources, between 1.2 million and 2 million people, or a tenth or so of this country's pre-war population of 15 million, have been killed over the last 17 years. Another 1.5 million were so badly injured that they are permanently disabled. With fewer than 50,000 Afghans have lost one or both legs to mines. More than 2 million Afghans who fled the fighting still live outside the country. And inside Afghanistan, there are 500,000 refugees. Since the Talibans captured Kabul about 2 months ago, about 150,000 people have left the city. War has made 500,000 to 800,000 Afghan women widows and has deprived 1 million children of their fathers. According to the UN Food Program, crop production has plunged to half its pre-war level, and Afghanistan will need 1.3 million tons more wheat than it grows this year. The average Afghan has a caloric intake equal to less than a pound of bread a day. Looters, man was talking about the house that he lived in with his family, and it says, looters made off with the doors and windows of their tumble-down two-room dwelling, so the family sleeps together on the floor under thin blankets. Unable to afford wood, which costs about 2 cents a pound, the Afras cook on a fire of cloth scraps in a courtyard. I don't know when this poverty will stop, he says. We feel like we are losing our minds, said a 28-year-old former student at the now-closed Kabul University. We knew we were already 30 or 50 years behind other countries. Now we are looking for a piece of firewood or fruit while other countries are working with computers. And that country that has been disrupted by war for 15 years, first from outside invaders, then by the resistors, and then after the resistors drove out the Russians, then there have been fractions among resistors who are fighting among each other, all under the Muslim flag, Islamic flag. And it is utterly devastating to these people. Now, in reading an article like that, which was quite extensive and told of the great misery of a people like that, presently existing today, where Thanksgiving can have rather an elevated meaning to it in comparison to the life that they're living. They have life, they have firewood, they have fruit on good days. They are dependent upon the Red Cross, international organizations, to help them They are a self-defeating movement because they do not let the women go out and work. And most of the women were working because so many men had been killed in the war. Now those women can't work because of their religious convictions that women are not permitted to work, nor are female girls permitted to go to school and get an education. And when women go out, they have to wear the full covering over their entire body as part of the fundamentalist faith. And it is pretty much being driven back to a primitive Stone Age agrarian culture. And I bring that to your attention because it's a reality that exists in our world today. And it's hard to think of those realities sitting where we are and the lives that we have and the abundance that we have and the freedom that we have and the liberties that we have. It's really hard sometimes with all we have to think about being as thankful as we should. And the devastation in many countries of the world and poverty imposed by either religious systems or civil wars or terrorists, such as in Rwanda, Burundi, Zaire, when we don't think of those things, we can forget perspective sometimes. So it's not to be thankful that those things are happening so we can see what we have. It's not to be thankful that there's a devil so that we can be thankful that we can overcome temptation. Sometimes people carry the idea of thankfulness too far and they almost thank God for the devil, or they thank God for wickedness in the world, or they're supposed to be thankful for things that are evil. And we're not to be thankful for the evil. We're not to be thankful for the devil. We're not to be thankful for evil men. We're not to be thankful for sin in the world. We're not to have such an idea that if it wasn't for sin, God couldn't show His glory. Therefore, we're thankful for sin. But when there has been sin, God has taken the occasion to show His glories. And we're thankful for a kind of God who, when there has been great sin, has not withdrawn Himself, but in spite of the sin, has manifested His glorious character towards us. What are we to be thankful for? Aim this morning to break away from just having a rhetorical speech on Thanksgiving. If it does that, then I fail in my purpose this morning. So may God raise us up in our minds and hearts above just spending time talking about Thanksgiving. First thing I believe we are to be thankful for is for our existence. We have come into existence. And it's an existence as a moral agent, not as a rock, and not as a tree, and not as a lion, but an existence as a moral agent. And the reason that that is so worthy of being thankful for, or of thanksgiving, is that we have the ability, we have the capacity of happiness. We have the capacity to enjoy well-being, good. We have the capacity innate in the image of God of enjoying the blessedness of God. Our existence that we have has the capacity to participate in or enjoy the same kind of blessedness that our Creator enjoys. God is a blessed being. He lives in great eternal bliss because He is a benevolent being. His blessedness is because He is more of a giver than a taker. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And in His being, He is a giver. He's a giver of life to angels. He's a giver of life to creation. He's a giver of life in humanity. And He's a giver of continual blessings in His providence. And in the great tragedy of sin, He's a giver of salvation and redemption. And He is greatly blessed in His state of benevolence. And that is why he is blessed. And he has made us with the capacity to have the same kind of blessedness that he has by being beings with the same character. Imagine being created by this great eternal being and given the opportunity to know him forever. Now, we didn't ask to be born, so it isn't as though we can thank God for fulfilling our request to be born. We've all been born separate from our own personal intents and wishes and choices. But our birth is a consequence of the life capacities that God created in man when he first gave him life. He created man and woman with the capacities to generate more and more moral beings. And we sit here today, long distant children of Adam, still in God's image. Still in God's image. We have this great ability of consciousness. We are conscious of ourselves. Conscious of our existence. We're conscious that we are responsible. We're conscious if we sin. We're conscious of an understanding God. We're conscious of what God promises in the gospel. For everyone who is born again, he's conscious that he has passed from death unto life. Second thing we're to be thankful for is the existence of others just like us. Be thankful for the existence of others just like you. Because that gives you the opportunity to be blessed. If there were no other beings in the universe but you, you would have no one to love. So you couldn't be holy. And you couldn't be happy. God has placed us in a world filled with a multitude of other moral beings like ourselves to love. He has designed a world in which there are objects to love, people to love. Multitudes of them. You can't get away from them. They're everywhere. And by design, they're everywhere. So that we have multitudes of opportunities to do good to others for its own sake, to bless them, to love them, to do good to them because we love them. Truly be thankful for the relationships that you have in your life. Do not begrudge relationships in your life. For everyone is an occasion for you to develop your love as a moral agent towards others. Everyone is an occasion to fulfill the great law of God, which is includes love your neighbor as yourself. You have to have neighbors in order to fulfill that law. I'm so thankful you're here. I'm so thankful you come. Give me the opportunity to do what I have as a means to do you good. That is to lay out the truth before you. I'm so thankful for each one of you that comes. I'm not just thankful for those who come and receive. I'm thankful when people come and don't receive. I'm not thankful that they don't receive, but I'm thankful that they come, even if they don't receive, because I have been given the opportunity to declare the truth to them. They have given me the opportunity to do that, to love them in that way. Do not let yourself stumble by the character of those that are in relationship to you. Do not let yourself be stumbled into thinking for one moment, oh, Maybe you won't even think this. You might sense you're really not grateful for a particular person in your life. Be grateful for every person that you have established a relationship with or are establishing a relationship with. Every one of them. For even if they do not give you access to do them good, you can still be attempting to do them good, intending to do them good. And they in your life, in relationship with you, are opportunities for your faith to be strengthened, made steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of God. Isn't that true? Be thankful for every relationship in your life. Whether or not you appreciate their character, be thankful that they are there. That you may love them, because nobody else may be in their life that will love them. Nobody else may be in their life that can give them an example of the love of God. And as well, they will be in service, establishment of your faith. So be thankful for everyone else that God has put in your life, such as yourself. Those relationships. Having established that we live, and conscious that we live, and established that there are other people that we have relationships with, this throws us back upon the fact that we did not create ourselves. We know that we did not create ourselves. We know our parents didn't create themselves. We know nobody created trees. We know trees didn't create themselves. And we go back and further to recognize that nothing has created itself. Beings have procreated, reproduced by the power of reproduction that the Creator has put in every being or many beings. But we have not created ourselves. Therefore, we recognize that there is a being who created us. A being who has the capability of personality. Because we have personality. Personality does not come from impersonal matter. So we are creatures of a personal creator. And personalities have design and purpose when they do things. Means our life has a purpose for being here. Our life has meaning to it. You might say, why don't I find my meaning? Why can't I think of my meaning clearly? I can't seem to find my purpose. Or I don't think in terms of, gee, I have a purpose for being here. I don't mean from the standpoint of our level looking out, but recognizing that a personal God created us means He had a purpose for our being here. So, therefore, our lives have purpose for being here because He purposed that we would be here. You follow me? So, because God is our Creator means we have a meaning and purpose in life, not because we think of one, but because He already thought of one. See? So, we have purpose and meaning for living because He had purpose and meaning for creating us. Therefore, we say to ourselves, I need to find that purpose. I need to find that meaning. Of course, we know that's revealed through His law and gospel. What the meaning behind creation is, what the purpose in creating is revealed through the law and the gospel. So knowing that we exist and knowing that other moral agents exist, we know that there is a personal creator that brought us all into existence. That personalities have purpose and design and meaning when they do things. Therefore, we are things that God has done. Therefore, He has a purpose and meaning behind bringing us into existence. Therefore, there is an end for which we are to work. There's reasons why we are to be doing things. And that is to fulfill the purpose He has when He made us. We're to be thankful for that. Remember we looked at the text, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. that our God reigns. Before even thinking about God doing anything on our behalf, the fact that He is, and that He is the kind of God that He is, with a personality and a character, and that He has made man and made creation, the fact that we exist, and we exist with other beings, and that He, this kind of God, made us, gives us many reasons to be thankful before He ever gave us one present, if you will. We don't need to wait until He gives us presents and does things for us to have reasons to be thankful. But our existence and our relationship with Him and His reason for creating us gives our hearts many multitudes of reasons just to be thankful, to walk around in a state of thankfulness, to be thankful in everything, as Paul said, because this is the will of God for us, that we be thankful in everything. Thus, we don't need to wait until a particular happens to be thankful, but be thankful in everything. Our very existence and relationships as creatures of that Creator. I believe that we also give thanks for the means that God uses to secure our well-being. We've talked about our natures. He made us with a nature capable of well-being. He made us under His government and administration and providence for our well-being. To those who love Him, we know that everything works together for good. Amen? Are you thankful for that? In faith, everyone that loves Him can have the faith, the belief, the assurance, all things He will work together for good. Be thankful for that. If you believe it, if you know you love Him, then you can believe it. Then you have reasons to believe all things are going to work together for good. His government and His providence. Ooh, it wouldn't like to be under any other being's providence than God's. Can't think of a being I'd prefer to be under His providence, under His government, than the God that is. So thankful He is, and that He has His government, and He has His providence. I'm thankful that in the providence of God, the drought in Maui was ended. Even though we didn't get all the sun we would have preferred, and we intended to go. But it was good that they had their drought end. And we were thankful for that. I almost wrote a letter to the editor of the paper over there saying, as a visitor from California, we came to get your beautiful sunshine and we got a lot of your rain, but we are really thankful that the drought ended for you. We're thankful to God for that. And truly our hearts were, both Pat and I expressed that. We believe that. Give to God thankfulness, His means He uses to secure our well-being in His gospel. Are you thankful for the gospel of God? Are you thankful for the gospel of God? The gospel of Jesus Christ? It's a means that God has chosen and is executing to secure our well-being. Remember, the gospel is God's gratuitous gift of pardon and acceptance. Remember that? Gratuitous. A tip. The word gratuitous and gratitude are very closely connected. When you have gratitude, it reflects upon a gratuity that you have received. You're acknowledging a gift graciously given to you that nobody had to give. Nobody was under obligation to give. Do you have gratitude for the gospel of God? For His gracious gift of pardon and acceptance? Let me read Romans 1 to you. One particular verse in Romans chapter 1. Let this strike you strongly. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. In Romans chapter 1, Paul is describing the downward degradation and depravity that man has been going through and downward through in suppressing the truth. And he describes a deepening and a deepening darkness and depravity and sin that man has degraded himself into. And he suppresses the truth in unrighteousness because he denies the reality of the Creator by the evidence of creation. And even though they knew God was there by His creation, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. They didn't honor Him as God or give thanks to Him as God. Unthankfulness is at the root of man's turning away from God. Because when you are thankful to God as your Creator, you acknowledge that you are a creature. See, as long as you're thankful that there is God the Creator, you are confessing you are a creature. You are confessing He is greater than you. You are confessing He has rights upon you. You are confessing you are not autonomous or independent of His claims upon you. And one of the ways to throw off the claims of God is not to honor Him as God or give thanks. You just can't keep giving thanks to God and be an atheist. You can't do that, see? That's giving thanks is a relationship thing. You can give thanks to trees. You give thanks to rocks. You don't give thanks to cows for hamburgers. Do you? Thanks is a thing that's done in relationships. It's gratitude. It's gratefulness. It's thanksgiving. And it's something that one person does to another person. Give thanks with a grateful heart, the song says. They wouldn't give thanks, and they turned away from God. It's part of turning away from God is not giving thanks. Are you thankful for the gospel? Everyone who has received the gospel has received and acknowledged their relationship with the Creator, that they have sinned against the Creator. And the Creator did something magnanimous, that He did not turn His back upon the creature that sinned, but He continued to do him good and provide this gospel that we have. To be thankful for the gospel is to re-establish the gospel in our hearts. You may not think of being thankful for the gospel in those terms, but every time your heart recalls God's forgiveness to you, don't you have a thanksgiving in your heart when you do? Every time when your mind recalls, or you recognize right at the moment where you are, you have what you have with life in God because of the gospel. Doesn't your heart just have a thanksgiving in it? In the very spirit of the thoughts? How could you be looking at the gracious gift of acceptance and pardon and enjoying it and indulging it without being thankful for it? By the very nature of the case, if you've properly seen the gospel and applied it to yourself and properly seen what you needed from the gospel, you could not help but be utterly grateful for this kind of love toward you. So when I say be thankful for the gospel, and are you thankful for the gospel, I'm referring to that spirit in the heart when it reflects upon and thinks of its relationship with God and knows that the relationship with God is founded upon in the gift of eternal life. The heart has breathing through it somewhere there. Oh God, thank you. Or maybe it would say it this way. I don't know where I'd be. Maybe it would say it this way. I do know where I'd be without God's gratuitous gift. There is in the mix of all those thoughts has to be a thankfulness, a gratitude, some kind of thanksgiving in the midst of the observation and the realization and the faith in the gospel of God. Because the core of the gospel is a gift, isn't it? Being justified freely as a gift. No one can have ever received that gift without the heart saying thank you. Because the very nature of the gospel is a gift. And to receive a gift without saying thank you is to have a heart that would never receive a gift. To treat it as though it was paid for, or there was a debt that the other person was paying off by giving you this thing. But when it is seen as a gift, thank you. Teach your children when you give them gifts to say thank you. When you really say thank you, to appreciate them, be grateful for them. Teach your children that gifts are not something that they deserve. Teach your children that when somebody gives them a gift, it is a gratuitous thing that they are doing. Remember we talked about birthday parties? The children, when their birthday comes around, you can train them to believe that the world owes them presents, that parents owe them presents, that friends owe them presents, and they can be trained to believe that these gifts are owed them. Or you can train them to know that gifts are not owed. If they're owed, they're not gifts. And teach them to know that distinction. So when they hear the gospel and the gift of God is eternal life, they'll have a proper understanding of the nature of a gift that is never owed. It is a gratuity. Teach your children that. Teach yourself that. Realize that with piercing precision. A gift is a gift only because it is not owed. Not binding upon the person. Not necessary for them to do it. And if they don't do it, they are none the less a good person if they don't. That a gift from another person is something that they give freely without expectations back. Without intimidations of return. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely we have received. Freely. How gratuitous this is our salvation. We have to be thankful for that. And we are thankful for that. Thankful for the gift of God I put down as a separate topic. We've been talking about that. Eternal life, forgiveness, the Holy Spirit. Thankful for the love of other people to you. Be thankful for the love of other people towards you. I don't mean the natural affection of parents towards children. I don't mean the civil behavior of people in certain environments, business, family, otherwise. But I mean when somebody really loves you. I don't mean they fall in love with you, as the world would say it. But when somebody really loves you and you know it, give God thanks for that. When somebody really loves you, give God thanks for that. Be thankful for that. Because you didn't make it exist. They really love you. Right? You didn't do anything to make them love you. And you can't do anything to make them stop. And they will be your best asset in times of difficulty. And they are some of your best resources for your growth. People who love you. Be thankful for them. A loving parent is the best gift God has to a child, even though children don't recognize it at the time. A loving pastor is one of the best gifts a person can have as a Christian, though they may not recognize it at the time. A loving husband or a wife, one of the greatest gifts you can have in this world. Give God thanks for that. It is a gift from God. It is God securing in another person's heart real, genuine love through the gospel. And you are the recipients of that benefit. One of the difficulties of giving thanks for people who love you is that people who love you will expect some things out of you. Not for themselves. Let me put it another way. People who love you will be working towards your good. And in doing so, they will be honest with you. They will be patient with you. They will be impartial with you. And they do it to get nothing in return. And so you may find the people who love you sometimes pushing you. Parents who love their children push their children. Mean by that, they don't let their children simply move by their feelings or their desires, but they push them beyond just what they want or they feel to what they ought to do. And so there'll be that sense of pressure in a child's mind. It's no pressure to want and feel, but it is pressure when you're denied the gratification of those things and required to do some things just because they ought to or it's good for them. In that circumstance, a child may not believe the parent really loves them until they gain a more mature view of love and understand why and see the benefits of their training. And so it is true in adult relationships. When somebody loves you, and you find pastors who will pressure you, or spouses who will pressure you, not to live in the mode that they live or the mold that they live, but in order to see that you are happy, they know you must be holy. And so one who loves you will not simply cater to your wishes and wants, but will be forthright and honest with you And that's something to be very thankful for. Because who can you count on? You need honesty with somebody who loves you. How rare is honesty in this world in relationships? I mean real honesty. Real honesty. Pat and I discussed on the trip, just briefly, something that we concur in, and that is that it's been our observation that every person that has finally come to salvation, the turning point was the point of honesty. It wasn't the point of gaining knowledge of doctrine. It wasn't the point of getting convicted for their sin. That didn't take them far enough. But it was when that person decided to start being honest with themselves and God. That's when things started to move. As long as they held to that willingness to be honest, they eventually entered in and found salvation. That's been the turning point in every case. Honesty. Not knowledge, not sincerity only, that willingness to be painfully honest with oneself. And boy, very hard by oneself to gain the truth. And how wonderful it is when you know somebody that loves you enough to be honest with you, and you can go to them and you'll know that they'll drive a stake in the ground and say, I can't move from that because I'd be dishonest. Now Jesus said words to this effect: if I tell you that God is not my Father, I would be like you, a liar. I have to tell you what the truth is. Be thankful for those who love you, that you know love you. It's a precious gift from God. Yeah. There is a false gratitude, like the man in the temple who said, I thank thee, Lord, that I am not like other men. He expressed a thankfulness, but it had nothing to do with really God and who He is, the salvation of God. But it was a proud heart thanking God that he wasn't. He didn't even thank God. He just says, well, he did thank God. I said, thank you. But it wasn't real gratitude. It was a proud heart speaking. This Thursday, the Thanksgiving season, all that happens with that and family. Think of ways to draw attention in your family to these things I've mentioned this morning. To be thankful for. Let your own heart and the heart of your family develop itself to be thankful for all of these things that have nothing to do with material things. Let your children develop an understanding of how precious relationship is, their life is, their nature is, their creator is, and their relationship with their creator. Make them aware of those realities. Give them reasons to see what they're to be grateful for, aside from when you give thanks for the meal, thank the one who provides a creation with such bounty. And thank the Creator for the opportunity to have the housing you have, the family that you have, the relations that you have, the gospel that God has for us all. Draw attention in your family to those things. Because those are the things to really be thankful for. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. When this life is gone, they will all be gone. Let us learn to be thankful. In eternity, in the book of Revelation, it reveals several places, but it reveals in several places where the 24 elders, in the 11th chapter of Revelation, it says that they began to give thanks for God because He began to reign. And after a revelation in chapter 7 of these multitudes and multitudes of people that you couldn't number, where did they come from? Oh, these have been saved by, through the gospel. It says the angels and the elders and four creatures worshipped God and said, "Glory and honor and majesty and power and thanksgiving," says, "to our God." Things to be thankful for are really the things of God, our relationship with Him, our being. And the material things are only supplemental, very temporary. I pray that you'll take that priority, that perspective home with you, and work it into your family this Thanksgiving week. And let your children hear expressed from your lips what to be thankful for. Let it permeate your household. Let it be the expression of your lips, thanksgiving for these things. Everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. Give thanks. Amen. Let's stand together.